Welcome to The Barbell Strikes Back. I'm your host, James McDermott, and I want to start today's show by sharing something pretty cool that popped up on my Facebook memories, or at least it's something that I think is pretty cool. According to Facebook, 3 years ago today, I posted a photograph of our Barbell Club leaderboard that hangs on the wall at the gym. And along with that photograph, I posted that we had just completed a training cycle where collectively as a group, everyone in the Barbell Club set 75 brand new personal records. And I just thought that was pretty cool because right now we're getting back into the gym. Many members of the Barbell Club are getting a bar in their hands for the first time in weeks or months, and we are still setting personal records. That is a big part of the culture of our club, putting an extra pound or an extra kilo on the bar and seeing if we can get a new record to better ourselves in some way when the time warrants it. So it's just great to see that memory pop up on Facebook. And it just reminds me of how we're still doing the same thing 3 years later. In fact, we have had some brand new PRs pop up over the last 2 weeks of this current training cycle. We're actually just finishing up week two today on Friday, and we already have a bunch of PRs to talk about. So let me go into them here. And we're going to start off with Diana. Of course, Diana is getting more personal records under her belt. She's a PR machine, and she recently PR'd her hang, clean, and jerk. Her old record was 135 pounds. On Friday of last week, we were doing a complex of one hang clean, lowering the barbell down to the kneecaps for the clean, and three push jerks. In that complex, she lifted 140 pounds. So she added 5 pounds to her PR and two extra lifts. And you know what? That's just Diana. That's just how Diana rolls. We're going to go for triples and set lifetime PRs on everything. So I think that's just the formula we need to keep rolling with Diana. Hey, we want to get a brand new clean and jerk PR. Go for three. Go for three and let's see what happens. And you know what? She's probably going to make all three just because that's how Diana rolls again. Now, another PR that happened last Friday was Joanna set a new clean and jerk PR of 80 pounds. Joanna's working really hard. She wants to get here on the show. And unfortunately, we don't have a meet for her to sign up for in New York. And it doesn't look like there's going to be one anytime soon. So I'm going to alter the deal a little bit with Joanna. And if she completes our entire training cycle that we're currently on, she's going to come on the show. And I really want her to get on the show to talk about her experiences coming to Barbell Club training sessions, because this is a first for her. This is the first time she's really coming consistently to the group training. And I also want to get her thoughts and feedback on how just the entire program went for her and just her experiences in training in general, because she hasn't trained for weightlifting in, I want to say, 3 or 4 years. When she set her 75-pound clean jerk PR, that had to have been maybe 2017, 2016. So it's been a while. Now here we are with only a couple training sessions under our belt, and we've increased our PR by 5 pounds, lifting 80 last Friday. So she's making good progress. She's being very consistent. She hasn't missed a training session yet, and I'm working really hard to keep her consistent on this schedule. So once we're done in a couple more weeks, she's going to come on the podcast and we're going to talk all about this current training cycle, her training, and all of her experiences throughout the years. So that's coming very, very shortly. Another PR that happened last Friday. Last Friday was a very eventful day. Bree PR'd her snatch PR. We set a lifetime PR snatch of 113 pounds. Her old record was 112, so we're up 1 pound. And this is significant for Bree. She's had some time off. She was lifting a little bit during the quarantine, then took some time off. Work was getting busy. But now that we're back together training as a group, she's been extra motivated and we're getting new PRs on the board. And one thing that I think has really helped was changing her start position. When she first started, getting Bree to keep good posture and a nice flat back during the pull was a little bit of a challenge. So what I did back then and what we did was we had her start with a lower butt start position. Essentially, she was in a deep squat with the bar pressed up against her shins and her back super upright. That was the best way that we could make it work at the time while we were building strength, while we were building awareness with the lifts. And I haven't seen her since March. Ideally, we probably would have changed it, you know, over the course of the last 5 or 6 months, but I haven't seen her and she hasn't been lifting. And I saw her last week in the gym and I was like, you know what? We need to change something here on this startup, because as she's pulling from the floor, her hips are rising too fast and the bar is breaking off the floor at a delayed rate. And we have this huge gap between the bar and her body, and she's catching things forward or hopping forward or just unable to make the lift. So what we did was we raised her hips up into a more traditional start position, hips slightly above the knees, and we pulled that bar all the way back into the shins. And Bree is much stronger now than when she first started weightlifting. She's much more experienced. She has the awareness about her to do these lifts the right way. And putting her hips in this position gets her a better use of her legs. She's already got the back part figured out, but now she's figuring out how to really effectively move that bar with her legs. And this stronger start position led to a PR last Friday. During the extra credit part of the session, we were done with our complexes and everything else we're working on. Bree's like, I want more snatches. I'm feeling really good today. And I was like, all right, let's go for it. Let's see what we can do. What's the PR? It's 112. Let's go 113. Let's not get too greedy with it. Let's get a score on the board here. We haven't been training too much. And let me tell you, she made that 113 look super easy. We could have gone for more, but again, I don't want to overdo it this early in training. But my prediction is by the end of the year, Bree will be snatching or be very, very close to snatching, somewhere in the ballpark of 135 pounds. I'm totally confident she can do that. She is strong enough. She is confident enough. What we just need to do going forward is continue to get that barbell in her hands as often as possible. And I think that paired with getting stronger in training and being with the group again is going to really push her to some new heights when it comes to that snatch. And speaking of Bree's snatch PRs, on Wednesday of this week, week two, she PR'd her snatch from the hips. Her old record was 95 pounds, which we set all the way back in February. And on Wednesday, she snatched 100 pounds. And that lift won her the snatch session for the day for the entire barbell club. She snatched the highest percentage by setting that PR. And so Bree's just been on fire with the snatch. So again, I'm really excited to see where we can take that lift. And it's going to go pretty darn far throughout the rest of the year now that we're back in the gym. Now, speaking of more PRs, Renee, new member to the Barbell Club, she recently snatched 55 pounds from the hips and the floor for the first time ever. And Renee is kind of in that phase of having the newbie gains, right? You first start weightlifting, you're doing the snatch and clean jerk for the first time. So every time you add weight to the bar, it's going to be a new personal record. So Renee's in a very, very cool spot to be in. And she realizes that. She's actually the one that told me during the training session. She's like, well, it's these newbie gains. I'm going to do a PR every single time. But we're still taking things slow with her training. And what I have her working on right now is maybe we start off with snatches at 35 pounds. Well, we're going to hit that for a couple sets. We're going to do a triple with that, but there's going to be rest in between each of these quote triples. So really we're going to do three singles with 35 pounds. Then we're going to go up to 40 pounds and do three singles there. And we're only going to increase the weight if it's feeling good, if it's looking good. And that way we have that foundation of having solid technique under our belt. We have all the time in the world to really push for heavier weights. And I have no doubt that Renee could snatch much more than 55 pounds. But again, we're going to get this experience built and the technique under our belt before we really go crazy with it. Because Renee is pretty darn strong. So what we could get into here is a hairy situation of she has this strength but doesn't know how to use it, and maybe we start catching things awkwardly and we tweak a shoulder or a knee, and we just don't need that to happen. So we need to learn how to effectively use that strength by gaining good technique, and we certainly will. Now, one last PR I want to talk about is Frank. Frank, the PR master, has PR'd his push press yet again. Last week, he PR'd his triple by push pressing 115 kilos. This week, he set a new double PR of 130 kilos. And this is significant because his old one rep max was 125 kilos. So we've added 5 kilos to our PR, and we've also added a lift. So who knows what his one rep max PR is. We're going to find that out next week. And he's still trading blows with Diana. We're still going back and forth. Diana didn't make it into the gym on Wednesday, so Frank has a slight lead. What I need to do is I need to map this out on a piece of paper, their specific rivalry, to see who has won what session and when and where the points come out. So I'll follow up with this on the next show on Monday with what the point spread is between Frank versus Diana, and we'll just keep going with that. So there's that rivalry, and then there's also whoever wins the session for the day. So when it came to the snatch session on Wednesday, Bree won the day for sure. And also when it comes to the clean and jerk session, Frank won the whole thing for the clean and push press and jerk workout. So congrats to everybody on those PRs. Let's keep training hard. Let's keep pushing the needle forward. It makes me wonder now, seeing that Facebook post and seeing all these new PRs come in, how many PRs have we set throughout the years? That would just be a cool number to know. I don't know if there's any way for me to go back and look and see since the inception of the Barbell Club to now how many records we've done. It's probably close to 1,000 since 2014 at the rate we've been going. So anyways, let's talk a little bit more about push presses. I really wanted to spend some time and talk about the push press today and what we're trying to get out of it and how it's being included in this current training cycle that we're on. So on Wednesdays, we have a complex that involves doing one high hang clean and 3, 2, or 1 push presses, depending on the week we're on. We're either doing triples, doubles, or singles on the push press. And we're really trying to push the weight on that push press to increase our upper body strength. That's the baseline reason we're using the push press is for strength. But I have some ulterior motives here. One, we're doing the push press after we do the clean. That way, we're going to be more likely to do the push press with a grip that we would use for the jerk. I've noticed in the past that when we've done push presses off of the rig or off of a squat rack, the hand placement is different. It's different for me. It's different for lifters who normally pop their hands out wider. And I find myself reminding people, hey, make sure you're using the grip that you would use for your jerk, and you're not just grabbing it where you would instinctively grab the bar if you were going to pull it from the floor. So we have these two different grips going on. If I want the most amount of carryover for the push press into the jerk, then I should use the grip that I'm going to do on the jerk. So this is one way that we're getting that benefit out of the push press is by hitting that clean, pop the hands out the way you normally would or re-grip the way you normally would, and then do the push presses. And we hope to see an even greater strength carryover into the jerk doing it that way, or at least just hitting it from a different angle. Now, there are 3 other reasons why we're using the push press, and these are individual reasons. Everyone as a group needs to get stronger. Everyone as a group needs to use the grip that they would use for the jerk on the push press. But everyone also has some slightly different needs. I have some lifters in the club who need to have better weight distribution, better balance on the dip and drive portion of the jerk. They're getting up on their toes. Bree, for example, we've been working the last few weeks on getting her to keep her heels down and not shifting her weight all the way forward on the toes when she goes to do the jerk. And that's something I have her working on with the push presses to see if we can have a direct carryover from practicing the dip and drive in an efficient way on the push press and have it carry over onto her split jerk. Schaff needs more leg drive. He's not pushing enough with his legs. He's not getting great enough force production from his lower half to put that bar overhead for the jerk. And when I see him doing the jerk, it seems like he's cutting the drive short most of the time, and he's trying to muscle it with the upper body. So what I have him working on with the push presses is letting it be all about the legs and doing a movement where it's way more difficult or you're going to be challenged to cut the drive short. So we're trying to get a better drive from the legs on the push press for Schaff. And I'm seeing a great carryover on that into his jerks that we do right after. Because after we hit a set of the complex, we do one lift on the clean and jerk from the floor. And again, great carryover for Schaff. He's really opening up more. He's extending the legs and hips all the way on the split jerk much more often than he was before when he was cutting things short. So that push press is definitely doing a great job there. And then you have Diana, who is, I'll use as an example of needing a sharper lockout for the jerk. And this probably comes as maybe a surprise because she's setting PRs and records all over the place. But a lot of the times when she's catching her bars overhead, the elbows on one side or the other or both might be a little loose. So what I want Diana to work on is really driving things home with the lockout and really emphasizing that portion of the lift because she's really good at using her legs, but there's a disconnect on what her upper body needs to be doing. It's some lifters will forget about the arms, forget about the lockout and bracing the upper body because they're focused so much on the legs. So that's something that Diana has to work on when we're all doing the push press workout. And this is just a great benefit and a way to approach from a coaching standpoint, group training. Yes, we're all doing the same workout and the workout isn't individualized in a sense of the sets, the reps, and the exercises. It's individualized on the specific homework assignment based on what exercise we're all working on. And this allows us all to have the same shared pain, so to say, the same experience, the same hardships and challenges of the workout, but then we also have our own personal assignment to get better. So if you're doing group programming, you know, you're programming for a lot of people, don't just throw an exercise out there and have everyone attack it in a blanket way. Everyone needs their own personal assignment now based on the day's workout. Because if you're doing squats or push presses or snatches or clean jerks, everyone has something specific that they could get better on. And they won't do it unless you give them that homework assignment. And you can even think about this from a programming standpoint way in advance, which is what I did. I hadn't seen anybody for a little while. So I know some of them coming in weren't going to be, you know, having lifted for a while. Others were lifting on their own, but not sending videos. Others were sending videos, and I noticed they had some issues popping up. So, okay, we're going to do this push press workout. These are a handful of things that I know are going to be problems or things that I'm seeing on the jerks in general. And now after the first training session, I can start to assign homework assignments on what we need to do to get better there. So that's just something to think about if you're a coach and you're programming workouts for multiple people. If you have a barbell club or a group, you don't have to have a separate workout for everybody. In fact, I think it works better to have everybody doing the same workout. So there's that camaraderie and team aspect, but just have everybody have a different assignment based on the workout. And to go back to Renee as an example, everyone is doing the same snatch workout that she is, but she's not increasing the weight versus they are increasing the weight after every set. You know, I gave her a different assignment of do this weight three times, then you can go up if it looks okay. So that's just a part of coaching and being involved in the group and some things that if you're a coach out there, you can start to think about, or if you're a lifter, you can start to think about, okay, well, if I'm doing this workout, what do I need out of this workout? Am I doing the work for the sake of doing the work? My coach has programmed push presses for me at 5 sets of 5. Am I just getting it done? Or do I have a specific part that I need to accomplish to get a better push press workout? Maybe I need to keep my heels down and keep my weight back and get off my toes. Maybe I need to work my lockout. Maybe I need to work my leg drive. It's going to be different for everybody. Now, the next thing I want to talk about here is our youth athlete extraordinaire, Bella. Bella has recently returned to the gym, and I'm very happy to be working with her again. And Bella gets a bonus shout out here because Bella has been probably the most consistent athlete right next to Frank throughout the entire quarantine when we couldn't get into the gym. Her dad told me that she's been working out 4 days a week. I had given her specific homework assignments. I gave her plates and ab mats and bars and things like that. So she's been working out at home, and she's only missed 3 days of training since March. I'm pausing so you can think about that for a little bit. This is a 13-year-old who is so dedicated to training that she has only missed 3 days. I wish I could say that. That's super consistent. It shows how serious she is about training. Bella loves barbell training. This is a big passion in her life. And she joined our barbell club last fall. She joined in the fall and she had never done a barbell workout before, but she wanted to be strong. And actually, the reason she came to our gym is because they told her at her school that she wasn't old enough to go into the weight room. So they wouldn't allow her to go in the weight room to train. So she found Albany CrossFit. She joined the barbell club and I started her off with powerlifting training. Squat, bench press, deadlift. And I knew that my end goal with Bella was to, of course, get her into the sport of weightlifting. But what we needed to do was build a foundation of strength, awareness, and conditioning. So she would do on one day a deadlift workout, followed up by like a mini CrossFit type workout of maybe some bodyweight squats, ring rows, and sit-ups, just some general conditioning, which I would sprinkle in things that she loves, which is the deadlift, and things that she hates, like the conditioning work, because Bella does not like to do the conditioning work, but it's something we got to do. So that was the trade-off there. And what I was looking for before getting her involved with snatches and clean and jerks was three specific things. I had three requirements that I wanted to see come out of her training before we started to approach weightlifting. And the first one was, can she pick something up off the floor with a flat back? And is she mindful enough? Is she thoughtful enough that when she goes to do a deadlift, will she flatten that back without being prompted? It's second nature. She's built up the habits. And we are at that point. In fact, we were approaching that point back in the winter. She did her first powerlifting meet in January. And she ended up setting a new personal record on the deadlift of 187 pounds. So sometime in October or November, she started training with us. In January, here she is deadlifting 187 pounds in her first powerlifting meet. And she did a phenomenal job. And she's super strong girl. Stronger probably than I was when I was 13. And she's deadlifting 187 pounds. So great. She's got good pulling strength. She can keep that back flat, and she's a more mature lifter now. She's very thoughtful about her lifting and very particular about where her hands go and things like that. And that's awesome to see as a coach. Cool. Check that box. Flat back. The second thing that I wanted to see come out of her training was we need to build up the upper body, especially since she's a female athlete. She's going to need a little more upper body strength than maybe a male counterpart might need. So we did, in the beginning, a lot of push-ups. We did bench pressing, of course, which she loves to bench press. And we also sprinkled in a lot of strict presses and push presses. And on Tuesday, she PR'd her 5 rep max strict press. Her old record was 50 pounds that we set all the way back in the winter. And we set a 51 pound PR on Tuesday. So we're up a pound. We were feeling good. We decided, okay, hey, let's throw on the little green fractional plates. Let's see what we can do, Bella. And that's a kind of the theme of this show is setting PRs and going for new records. And that's a great way to motivate a youth athlete is like, hey, can I do this? Yes. Yeah. Let's try. Let's go for the challenge because youth athletes love that challenge. And that's a big benefit to having the little pound fractional plates is it doesn't have to be a big PR. Any kind of PR is exciting and valuable. So we hit that 5 rep max strict press PR on Tuesday. And overall, for just her general upper body strength, Bella has bench pressed over 100 pounds. I believe her PR is either 105 pounds or 110 pounds. We haven't done that one in a little while. And she can push press 75 pounds for 5 reps. So her 5 rep max push press is 75 pounds. Again, I don't think I could have done that to save my life at 13 years old. So we've definitely developed some good upper body strength. And that has me confident as her coach that once we start to ease into snatch and jerk training, learning those lifts, her shoulders are going to be strong enough and stable enough and safe enough to handle that, especially as we start to gain strength in new ways from those lifts. So requirement number 2, check, boom. And as a coach, I'm trying to take the long game approach. I'm not trying to rush this. Day one, she comes in. Okay, here we go, snatch and clean and jerk. I viewed this as an opportunity to really build up her technique from the ground up. I'm not sure if you can hear it right now, but a giant plane just flew right by my apartment. But anyways, so that's requirement number 2 in the books. The third requirement was, can she get into a deep squatting position? And this is this was the challenge. Keeping the chest up, keeping good posture, having the core strength to do that, even at just body weight, let alone holding on to a dumbbell or a kettlebell or a barbell on the back, this was the big challenge for Bella, having the flexibility and the core strength to squat into a deep position. And on Tuesday, I was so happy to see that she can now take a 35-pound barbell, put it on her back, and squat ass to grass in a posture, in an upright torso position that would make any weightlifter and any coach proud. So that was so cool to see. And we worked a little more on the back squat, and she ended up back squatting 55 pounds for 5 reps. It's technically a PR because we've never done it before, but I could clearly see she's got way more in the tank. She's very strong, but that's a lift along with the snatch that I plan to continue to develop slowly to make sure we do things the right way and the safe way. So Bella is making huge strides. I think that she's totally ready now to start snatching and clean and jerking. And now that I'm going to be in a position where I can work with her a little more closely again, we can start to go down that road together. And my overall goal with Bella at the beginning of the year was to get her into a weightlifting meet by the end of the year. And obviously that might not happen if there aren't meets going down, although there could be one in December. So maybe we could pull this off. If not, I do plan on doing some sort of a mock meet with the club where that'll be her first exposure to a weightlifting style competition. And I know she wants to do one too. You know, I thought about this the other day. I'm like, are we going to do weightlifting because I want her to do weightlifting and that's what we do primarily in the barbell club, or is it because she wants to do it? And I remembered that back in the fall, maybe late November and early December, she would tell me and other coaches, hey, when do I get to do that? And what she meant by that was the snatches and clean and jerks that she sees everyone else in the club doing. So I do know there's that interest there. So I'm going to slowly introduce it, make sure that interest is still there, and we'll see what happens. And I'm going to keep updating the show here on Bella's progress because there's big things coming from her. She's super strong, and not only super strong, she's super committed again. 3 training sessions missed over the course of what, 6-7 months now. That's incredible. So great job, Bella. Shout out to Bella, first time being mentioned on the show. Now, one last thing that I want to talk about here for today's show is just reflecting on training. And that's kind of what I've been doing this entire show. I've been reflecting on what the club has been doing and what Bella's doing and all these other things. But I realized for myself that, and this is something that I would advise you to do as the listener, is it's a good idea to reflect on training maybe a day after on everything that you did the day before. So I was thinking about Monday's training session and how it went. And I have a journal that I write in, and it's very valuable just to pour your thoughts down on paper, especially when you're thinking about your own training and trying to see what kind of lessons you can pull from it. And that's not to say that videos are worse. You should be doing both. You should be filming lifts, especially if you're lifting by yourself, so you can watch them over again and see how you can improve, and also to send them to your coach if you have one. And hey, if you don't have a coach, send me your video, shoot it to me in an email or a text or on a DM, and I'll give you some advice. And who knows, maybe if you like what I have to say, you decide to join our club. But anyways, film your lifts, get something out of it, but then write about your lifts as well. Keep a journal, keep a log. And in that journal, what you're going to do, ideally the day after, I like to sleep on it a little bit. That way I wake up with a fresh mind, because sometimes training is hectic. Sometimes training is hell, and you just kind of need to step away from it and rest and wake up with a fresh thought process. So wake up the next day and write down your thoughts on the last training session that you did, and if you accomplished your goals and what you could do better next time, and if you learned any lessons. And when I was in reflection about my Monday session, I thought about how my time sets went. On Mondays, we've been doing EMOMs. Every minute on the minute, 1 minute sessions or sets, we're doing one snatch or one clean and jerk at X percentage. And on Monday, it was 75% max lifts. And these were 15 minute EMOMs, one for the snatch, one for the clean and jerk. And I just noted in my journal that, hey, snatches haven't felt that good in a while. They haven't felt that so good that I'm excited and looking forward to the next snatch training session. I can't say when the last time I felt that way was. And I realized that on Tuesday when I was writing in my journal, hey, I can't wait for Wednesday. I'm pumped up for this. I am looking forward to, and I'm craving to snatch again. I can't tell you when the last time that was. And it wouldn't be something that I would realize unless I was writing it down and thinking about it again. That's how well it went. That's how good it felt. And I noted how my joints were feeling, because as I'm turning into a master's weightlifter, I have to be mindful about things like that. So I'm trying to keep a log as well of the joints, shoulders, hips, knees, ankles, wrist, low back, neck. I have all these things written in my journal, and I'm kind of giving them a rating 1 through 10, 1 being the worst, 10 being the best. And I wrote down next to my shoulders 10 after Monday's session. And normally it would be, you know, within the last 6 months or so, it might be a 5, a 6, if it's really bad, a 4. And the stretches I've been doing, the way I've been warming up, are really starting to help. So I'm going to keep that going. If it's not broke, don't fix it. It's helping a lot. But it's good as a master's lifter to kind of have a gauge on how all those joints are doing and to track it after every training session and give it a rating. And I know that the more I can keep those shoulders at a 10, obviously the better. And I want to know, okay, it's Friday, it's session number 3. Man, those shoulders felt like a 3. Well, okay, how was it on Wednesday? Oh, it was a 5. So and how was it on Monday? It was an 8. Okay, well, there's a downward trend going on here throughout the week. What can I learn from that? What do I need to adjust to keep it level or get an upward trend? These are all things you can learn about with your training if you keep some sort of a log and keep track of things like your joints, how you're feeling, energy, stress. You know, I know for me, okay, if I had a bad training session, what was going on around that training session? Was I busy with a lot of work at the gym? Was I engaging in some kind of a big project early where we're moving equipment or we're painting the walls in the gym and I expended a lot of energy that way? Did I eat enough food? What did I eat? Write it all down. Okay, yesterday's training session felt like garbage. Oh, and look, I didn't eat all day. You know, these are things that you might just know, but it's good to write them down and to kind of see what's coming together to either build perfect success or what's coming together to build a perfect storm of not great training. So those are some things that you can put in there as well. And I also noted in my journal kind of the flow that I got into with my clean and jerk EMOM workout. So I was getting into a really good flow on that workout. And I thought this noteworthy to write down, and I really want to share it with you. I very purposefully and specifically had a routine for every minute on that time set for the clean and jerk. The snatch is a little bit different. The snatch workout for me, the every minute on the minute, it's not as stressful as the clean and jerk workout. It's not as taxing. I'm keeping the weight a little bit lighter right now just to make sure that everything is going well again with those joints, and I'm trying to progress it week to week. But I also don't like to really sit down in between snatches. I like to move around. I like to stay active. It just makes me feel more athletic when I'm snatching. So I really don't like to sit down. I never have. On the clean and jerk though, you better believe I have a chair and my butt is in that chair after every lift. And my specific sequence for every minute was something that I worked hard to maintain throughout the entire 15-minute workout. So let me tell you what the sequence is, and then I'll tell you why I did it. So start of the workout, 3, 2, 1, the timer beeps. My feet are under the barbell. I put my right hand on the bar. Then I put my left hand on the bar. I drop my hips into position. I brace my back. My eyes are fixed straight ahead, and I'm focused on the wall ahead. Take a big breath in again. And then I pull. I stand forcefully. I drive that bar back into my hips, make solid contact. I extend all the way, and I rip my elbows under the bar, catch it in a nice, strong, stable position, and I bounce up out of the hole. Not trying to get pinned down there, not trying to pause down there. I'm working on good timing of springing up out of the bottom of the squat. Very important on the clean. I stand up. I readjust my grip. I take a deep breath in, trying to breathe into my belt, and then I hit the split jerk. I brace in the split. I'm squeezing my legs. I'm driving the bar up to the ceiling as hard as I can, and then I recover. Front foot slides back first. Back foot steps forward to meet it, and then I pause. I pause specifically, and then I drop the bar. And the reason I pause is because that's what you have to do at a weightlifting meet. Yeah, it's very tempting, especially on an EMOM, to just bring the feet back together and immediately drop it. But I'm not getting the benefit of building that patience and what I want to have be the end result at a weightlifting meet if I do that. So I pause, I drop it. I don't worry at that point about readjusting the weights, tightening them up or anything like that. If the bar rolled off to the side a little bit, instead, I use my left hand, I unlatch my belt, and I go sit my butt down in my chair. And that whole lift takes about 15 seconds. And I'm going to be sitting in the chair, recovering, focusing on my breathing, thinking about the lift and what went right, what I need to tighten up. Do I need to push a little harder here? How can I be better on the next lift while the timer keeps ticking? At 45 seconds in, I stand up. I go to the chalk bucket. I put chalk on my hands, I tighten up my belt, I step to the bar, the timer goes off, and I do the whole process again. And what I'm trying to do is build habits. I'm trying to get into a good sequence where my setup is exactly the same every single lift that I do. Nothing's changing. It's a part of my technique. I'm trying to practice standing up quickly out of the bottom of the clean, even when I'm tired, even when it's set number 10 and I've already done 9 clean and jerks and I'm getting very fatigued. I still want to have that fight to spring up out of the bottom versus maybe just being a little gassed on the lift and pausing down there and then grinding it up. And then the jerk is a little harder because of it. So I'm trying to practice that. I'm practicing and forcing myself to be patient between the clean and the jerk. And this was something I noted this in my notebook that I didn't always do. There were some jerks that right after the clean, I barely adjusted my hands, barely took in a breath, if at all, and just went for the jerk. And I can tell you, those were my worst jerks. That's not my technique. That's not how I've trained to do it. That's not a productive way to go about it. What I was doing in that situation was getting the jerk done for the sake of getting the jerk done. I was just doing the work, but there was no intent behind that. And then I have to reel myself back in. On the next lift, James, you have to do better. You have to be patient. You have a whole minute. Oh, what did that gain you? It gained you a second. Okay, well, you're on a good enough flow where you're getting enough rest. You're recovering. You don't have to do that. Stick to your guns. Stick to your technique. And then the next lift, I would do it. And that's what I'm trying to get out of these time sets. There's a lot going on in that minute. There's a whole process behind your lifting that you may not realize is there. And what we're trying to do with on-the-minute training and training in general is we're trying to build habits that will become instinctual when it counts, when it matters, when you're going for a PR, or when you're at a weightlifting meet. I've been to plenty of weightlifting meets where I've rushed my technique, or I didn't trust my technique. I did something different, just like I did on that one set during the time set where I didn't adjust my hands all the way and I didn't take a deep breath and the jerk was not as good as it could have been. I've missed cleans, I've missed jerks before in competition because of that. So this style of training is to really help with the consistency of technique, get conditioned, you know, all those things, but also to build a foundation of good habits. And if you think about it, we're doing a lot of reps. So I need as many of those reps to be with my foundation of technique as possible. Because if I'm just getting through a 15-minute workout and just doing the lift to do the lift, I'm just diving under bars, I'm pausing in the bottom, I'm getting up here and there, just going into the jerks, and every lift is different from the one that came before it, then in my opinion, I'm not getting anything out of that session. All I'm getting out of it is work, but it's not meaningful work. So when you go about doing your next training session, think about that. Okay, again, what is the intent behind my workout? Am I doing things in a repetitive way that are successful? Or do I maybe need to change my technique a little bit? Am I building good habits that will help me PR, that will help me make the lift that counts at a meet? Or am I just doing work for the sake of doing work? We don't want that. And make sure you're reflecting on your training. Get a notebook. The next day when you wake up or when you have time, write down how it went and what lessons you can pull from it. And this is something that I pulled from my training session, or those are a couple things. So keep note of that. Take note of how the body's feeling. Maybe incorporate some kind of a rating system. And of course, just keep training. And if you need any help, need any advice, I'm here for you. Shoot me a message. If you have a topic on that you'd like to see covered on the podcast here, shoot me an email. My email is james.amcd@yahoo.com. Slide into my DMs, The Barbell Strikes Back on Instagram, or James A. McDermott on Instagram. Make sure you head on over to Apple and iTunes and leave a 5-star rating. Leave some feedback for the show, a positive comment. Would love to see those. And again, I can't wait to talk to you all next time on Monday. Friday's show, it's late. I know. I already got some I got some text messages of people like, hey, it's 8 a.m. Where's my podcast? It's not on my desk. Well, I'm running behind today. I'm sorry about that, but I am glad to get a show in here on Friday. So have a fantastic Friday or just a great day whenever you happen to be listening to this show. I'm going to work my hardest to do even better next week. Next week, 8 a.m., all three shows. I'm going to really try, or at the very least, I'll get a show up that day, because sometimes life just gets a little crazy when you have all these projects going on. So thank you again for listening. Until next time.